Live from Frick's Sports Bar in Midland on Sports Radio 100.9, The Mitt.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Northwood Football Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9, The Mitt. I'm Travis McCurdy, joined by Coach Dusty Buehr. I mean, we're going to be real honest up front, folks. You just listened to the payoff, and it was half a Tigers play-by-play recap, half a actual show about stuff.
We'll give you recap, we'll give you preview, we'll give you what's going on in the Tigers game
Right
now as it's in front of our eyes.
You can have the broadcast on mute. Good slider there by Reese Olson. Now it's 1-1. we'll have Tiger recap of what's going on, and we'll talk some Northwood football too.
Yes.
It's not called Tiger Recap Weekly. It's called Northwood Football Weekly. So we do kind of stay focused.
And like I tell our players, stay present in the moment, the current moment. Don't move on. Don't look behind. Try to stay focused, which we will try our best to do right now.
And I want to let you know, if I'm not engaged in good communication, eye contact, I'm still listening.
I can handle that.
Okay.
I'm good at that, too.
Okay, good.
Even though my wife doesn't think so sometimes.
We're here at Frick's, as we are every Thursday night. I'd like to thank Jeff Reckway and the team here at Frick's for their awesome help with us and service over the years. Coming up, we'll have Ricky Pearson on the show, and then we'll talk some men's lacrosse. Jake Friedel, first year of the program, getting ready to kick off some fall ball before they play their first season this spring. Now, I'm probably going to guess you'd rather talk about the Tigers than the Hillsdale game Saturday, but we're going to talk a little bit about both.
We're going to talk a little bit about both.
Hillsdale, 14-13 loss on Saturday, and I mean, I just feel like this is a thing that's not – I'm not breaking news here. Football is a game of inches, and in a game that close, you played a pretty solid mistake – not a lot of mistakes, but the mistakes you made in that game, I think, cost you a chance to win.
Well, and I go back to, okay, we have two losses this year. Strike them out, baby.
Yes.
All right? That was huge. I think when you talk about the two losses we've had, they were two totally separate losses.
Yep.
Like, I was disappointed in maybe how I what role in hand I had in the preparation of Tiff and came out flat in that one. The Hillsdale game, we fought. We played hard. And I think, like, my goal for the program is, if we're ever going to lose a game, it's never because of our effort and what energy we bring to the table, right? They fought. They played hard. At the end of the day, it probably came on each side of the ball, and you kind of probably – people probably think I'm crazy, right? It was a 14-13. We got to find a way to score more points, right? Play a few scenarios, decisions I made in that game over in my mind afterwards, like, should I have handled it differently? And we can go all into that. But I think 4 to 5 plays each side of the ball could have changed that game. And so now it comes to when you've been in those moments, you get better. All right.
Yep.
And I've been through it before with young teams or teams that are newer in the process, that it takes time being in those moments to get that consistent execution in the crunch time. And, you know, you can want something too much sometimes, right?
Yep.
And I think we saw a little bit of that. And I try to put things into perspective for the guys after the game. Like, you prepared the right way. You handled it, the non-talent things, the right way in the game. Sometimes you can do a lot of things right and still not get what you want in life. And that doesn't mean you change course because it didn't work one time.
Yep.
So if we do those things, we're going to be in games. Now it's about closing out those games and winning those games and executing when it matters.
Well, started off, got the first 3 points of the game. Gonos, give Max all the credit in the world. Before we say anything else, Max has been really good kicking the ball for you.
Real solid. Real reliable.
Yep. And then, you know, like, talk about one of those plays. It's first and goal. Kind of felt like we had been in control of the whole game up to that point. First and goal, and mess up a snap, and then it's a turnover, and that wasn't the play. There's tons of things that happen between now and then, but that kind of was one of the turning points of the game.
That's easy. It's the easiest one to look back at. If you come away with points there, there's your difference in the game.
Right.
We're on the 10-yard line. We're inside the red zone. And an errant snap and a reaction by a guy and on a play that we're not blocking the nose, and we're running a play away from him, and he lands on it, you know.
Yep.
And so what I remind everybody in our team is, like, listen, until you score every possession as an offense, stay focused on what can get you better. Until you pitch a shutout every game, stay focused on what can make you better as a defense. And if everybody's staying focused on that on their moments and what can do better, not worried about what the other side of the ball is necessarily doing. Let me worry about that.
Yep, yep.
You stay focused on your responsibilities and what your job is. You start worrying about other people's jobs, responsibilities, you lose focus on what you need to do to execute. And maybe that happened a little bit. You know, there really wasn't any finger pointing, and we had a very matter-of-fact conversation that offensively we got to find a way to score three more points. Defensively, should they have even had those opportunities? And when you play a team like Hillsdale, who is going to grind it out and eat clock, those 4 to 5 plays matter a lot, whether it's each side of the ball. Did a defensive – when the defense was out there, them allowing them to get one extra first down on a drive, you lose 2 to 3 minutes then, right?
Yep.
And so we'd like to have those 2 to 3 minutes later in the game. Offensively speaking, is we need to, in those games, our dry spells can't be as long.
Right.
And they didn't need to be. So you pick up, there's a couple plays I can think of where you complete a hitch or you maybe run to pick up the first down. Now you're talking like if that happens 4 times a game, that's 12 more snaps. So we go from 55 total snaps in the game to 67. Statistically showing in the last 2 years, our offense is better when they have more opportunities. So that's an offense and defense responsibility thing to make sure we get those opportunities.
That's one of the things I was going to mention here. Kerry Carpenter needs to lay off the high pitches.
Lay off.
But third down and fourth downs are a big part of that game. Like you mentioned, Hillsdale's a team that wants to keep the ball grinded out. Northwood, we're trying to the total yards are within 6 yards of each other. The first downs are within 2 of each other. It's a 1-point finale. But Hillsdale went 7 for 16 on third down and 3 for 4 on fourth down. Now that's like five or six extra drives that you could maybe shut down. And then we go 5 for 12 and 0 for 3. And again, we're talking about margins that are 1 point.
3 to 4.
Any one of those changes.
Our goal is to be 55% efficient of our offensive plays, right? Whether that's first down getting 4 yards or whatever, if you're in second down and third down of cutting those in half. It, like, when you look at the top 25 of Division II football, because I did this to put things in perspective for the guys, you can be in the top 25 of Division II football and third down conversions at 45% plus. We were right in that.
Yeah, we absolutely, 42%.
We were 3 plays off on efficiency offensively. And then defensively speaking, on third downs, they had a lot of third and short opportunities.
Yep,
where
yep.
we came up short, fourth down opportunities on offense, we were 0 for 3. They were 2 for 3, I think.
3 for 4.
3 for 4. So, like, that's where you get into staying on the field or getting off the field. And you just say 3 plays there. I mean, that's 9 snaps each side, right?
Yep.
So, sometimes stats are for losers, but you can really look into it a lot deeper, because I'm not talking about individual stats for guys and all any of that. It's the fine stats that we comb it with we fine-tooth comb it after a game of here's where it ended up being the difference. And we're 0-2 and we don't win the turnover battle. We were tied 1-1 on Saturday.
Yep.
The Tiffin game, I think we were 1-1 again, or 2-1.
Yeah.
So we know we got to get more takeaways. We've been working on it in practice as a defense. We need more takeaways. Had opportunities. If we're in the right spot by an extra 6 inches, we might have a few more. And then we can't give the ball away. And then when you take shots, your goal is to complete. If you complete 33% of your shots, you're feeling a lot different about life too.
For sure.
We were 0 for on shots.
Yep.
I watch every game that Hillsdale played, offense, defense, special teams. Their defense is really good. And the only times they were beat were on explosives and for touchdowns, 20-plus touchdowns. If you were matriculating the ball down the field, it wasn't happening very often. And every time we got an explosive, we didn't get in the end zone on the explosive.
Yep,
so
yep.
those are things that show up. So
we're talking with Dusty Buehr here at Northwood Football Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 in the Mitt. We forgot to mention, it's ladies' night. Nice crowd in here tonight.
Ladies' night, half-off bottles of wine.
Burger
night.
Burger night. It's a fun night to come in. There's some pool going on. Ricky's playing some pool. We see that with the kids.
As they say, Frick's is the ultimate late-night experience.
It is the ultimate late-night experience. Ding! Trademark that. Get some name, image, likeness on you. Hi, I'm Dusty Buehr.
I heard it on the commercial before
we
started.
I did, too. Let's talk about Frick's. Even though you're a coach, get some name, image, likeness. I thought... You talk about you want the defense to get more turnovers overall, but, like, I mean, outside of 2 drives in the second quarter, they really overall had an outstanding game.
Yeah. they adjusted in the second half. You know, Stevie Douglas went down. Lorenzo Alford, once he settled in, did a nice job, and he's going to be counted on. Him and Gavin Wargle to kind of fill that spot a little bit as we go forward here in the future. And, yeah, pitched a shutout in the second half. But, like, you can lose sight of just the shutout in the second half of could we have been off the field sooner a couple
right.
of times. And,
like,
right. so you're always challenging guys, like, hey, you're never going to arrive, right?
Yep.
We
yep.
always say that in our program. We'll never arrive. There's very rarely ever been a perfect game of football played ever. And
yep.
so I've been a part of wins where we scored 75 on offense where we probably could have had 125. So it's not
– yep.
you're not perfect.
Yep.
And so until you get that perfection, then what do you got to do the next time? Do it again. So, like, there's always things we can strive for and work for. I'm sure some parents and fans might disagree with me on that, but there's always ways we can do better, and whether what each side of the ball, right? And I want to, like, I kind of put things in perspective with our guys, and, like, if you want to see how far we've come as a program, put on the first spring game that we had
a
year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And that gives me perspective sometimes when you lose sight of it, because I'm sure the way we started the season, and then, like, we're 3-2 right now, guys. Like, last year we were 1-4 at this point,
yep,
okay?
Yep.
And this year the difference is we've been in every game with an opportunity.
It could be 5-0.
Yes.
A little luck here or there, you could be 5-0.
And that's hard to do, but, like, we're not. At the end of the day, I'm not looking for moral victories for our guys, but I'm making sure they understand if you follow our process the right way, you're going to give yourself the chance to get what you want. Now it's about executing to win in those opportunities.
I oftentimes, when we've come off a loss, I've come in here and talked about how the practices have gone post-loss.
Right.
So how have the practices been going this week?
Well, I think, like, you're getting to the midway point in the year, and we tried to, like, ease into the week a little bit on Tuesday. Bodies don't feel the same on Tuesday as they a week ago or 2 weeks ago. So you got to be smart about how you're practicing and your rep counts. So we tried some different things. So I think that kind of, like, slowing things down on Tuesday kind of carried over to the beginning of yesterday. And I called, like, a timeout in the middle of practice, something I might have not done years ago. Or, like, hey, let's let the guys figure it out. I called timeout. Hey, this is, like, halftime of practice. Here's where we're coming up short, and things changed. And I'm not saying it's because of me. It's because guys decided, like, oh, shoot, here we go.
Yeah.
So I always ask guys, just like I do, look yourself in the mirror and ask what you can do better. And, and, like, I do the same. And, you know, I've realized, like, we talk a lot in moments of when there's something going wrong, whether it's the energy, a lack of energy, body language, things in the heat of the moment, in the competitive situations, we try to correct it, and it's me correcting it. Well, it's no different than running a play, right? Like, before you go out and run at full speed, you're going to learn about it in the classroom. You're going to watch the film. All right, now you're going to go do it slow speed, and then we're going to ask you to do it full speed. So I have to take a different approach when we do get in those lulls or moments of doing more classroom work on that.
Yeah,
like, give me a situation, guys, that you've noticed. Okay, number one, identify the problem. And that's really what we worked on this week a lot, was that, you know, and I got to do a better job of developing leadership to recognize and understand how to handle those moments. Because to expect people just to do it on the fly in competitive moments only is and or fix it after the fact, we got to get out of that.
Right,
so
I
looked myself in the mirror, so this is what I got to do to fix it. So we're going to do our darndest, and I want, before every game, the coach we play against to say, man, you guys play really hard. I want to emulate that. And we've gotten that for the most part when we show up to a game, and then it's about going out and deciding we're going to play like that.
Right.
So
So this weekend you head down to Kentucky, to play Thomas More. Thomas More 3-2 also on the year. They got off to a really good start. And it looks like they kind of ran into a buzzsaw at Tiffin last week where they lost 51-10. But what can you tell me about the Saints?
You know, that game was probably a little bit closer than what you think initially. Some turnovers got that one stretched out. Probably one of the few teams that's really stopped Tiffin from running the ball this year. I would say Thomas More is – they're really good at home. They play different at home, and that's a positive way for them. Like, got a really good quarterback who can do things with his legs and his arm, some explosive and capable receivers. Their O-line is nasty. They play nasty, and then they're going to get into your skin a little bit, and you got to be able to withhold, you know, losing your mind and stuff. I think they're – Their running back's very capable as well. And then defensively, they are very twitchy up front on the defensive line, which can cause some concern. If you're putting yourself in third and pass and don't stay on schedule, they can create some problems. They do some movement. Linebacker-wise, got some younger dudes there that can run around and are bigger physical guys. And then at the defensive backfield, they're going to play physical in the defensive backfield and make you get off releases and jams and those types of things. So we got our work cut out for us. They probably have one of the best punters in the conference as well, so they're really good at flipping field position. I think last week he might have, it's like he's averaging 50 yards a punt, it seemed, man.
Oh, wow.
He can rip it and do those things. So we got to be just disciplined with our approach of how we go into the game. We're playing a game for the first time this year at noon on the road, and we need to make sure that we get up and have a sense of urgency with everything we do and attack that day. And if we could attack it from a effort and energy standpoint like we did, but execute at a higher level, we're going to give ourselves a chance to go down and get a win on the road.
Good job by Resolves in getting out of that inning.
Yes, it was.
1-1.
Fantastic.
1-1, bottom of the fourth. Ricky Pearson's our next guest.
Yes.
And I thought he was really good last year, but I really think he's one of the top corners in the league right now. I think he's playing at a very high level.
Yeah, and, like, he's a guy that expects a lot of himself, and I'm not surprised because he puts a lot into it. And to watch the growth out of Ricky, I've been around Ricky since, I recruited him out of De La Salle out of high school when we were at Albion. And he was in my second recruiting class there. When I left, he went in the portal, and he's a guy I wanted to bring with me. And
yeah.
I think I can attribute some of our cultural shift to things he's brought to the table. You know, you got guys who take it as a softer, more diplomatic approach with people, and Ricky's going to tell you how it is at all times. And just the growth in him, he was not that way as a freshman. You know what I mean? And really proud of what he's been able to accomplish up to this point this year, and still continue to expect big things out of him. And he makes you feel good knowing he's going to be over there and he's going to be really prepared for whatever comes his way. Had the big turnover he helped create last week. I'm sure, I don't know, like he would say the week before was his best game ever from a certain standpoints, and thought he responded really well and saw us getting on his butt, and you know what I mean? Anything you can do, you can coach Ricky hard. And like when I say coach hard, it's not a personal attack on anybody, but you can get on him a little bit and he responds to that. And it's because we have high expectations for Ricky, but he also has high expectations for himself. But he's really good at moving on to the next moment typically. And he's been a big catalyst for our defense taking the next step.
Well, as a corner, you definitely have to have that mindset.
Gotta have a short memory, man.
Yep. But, the other thing too is somebody like Ricky could also play games where you're not going to notice him. Because I don't remember the ball going his way that much in a lot of these games.
And, like,
this year.
Going into last week's game, I'll say this. They had the kid we talked about last week. Ricky went into Coach Sweeney's office and said, let me mark him the whole game. And one catch, 12 yards, I think.
Yep,
so,
yep.
Pretty
good.
He did solid, you know, and he's been our player of the week twice this year.
Yeah.
We call him our alphas of the week, and he was an alpha Timberwolf a couple times this year and on our leadership council. And I'm just really proud of the growth I've seen out of him over the last, going into year five with him right now.
Well, Coach, congratulations on having a noon game this weekend. I know you're looking forward to that. And
yeah.
Safe travels. What time are you guys leaving tomorrow?
11 a.m. tomorrow. All right. Got a big day.
got a special appearance by John on
the
radio.
Yeah, special appearance right there.
Just handing off the phone.
Handing off my phone. And he handled himself well tonight during the show. Ricky's done a phenomenal job with my children tonight, too.
That's one thing we sometimes don't mention is that on the weeks that your wife Kate can't be here, they are also child wrangling.
Yes. Well, she happens to be at the Tigers game right now.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah. Last night, the biggest issue for her in our house was, oh, my gosh, I got to find my winter Tigers hat and stuff. I'm like, oh, poor you.
What a problem
poor
to
you.
Have.
Darn.
That is first world problems if you've ever been at it.
Oh, yeah, like a tough deal we got going on there. But I'm excited she can be at the game at least and represent us, even though I'm slightly jealous.
Yeah, well, it's fun. I was there yesterday.
Yeah,
I don't want to brag, but I was there yesterday. It was a lot of fun. And if we don't win tonight, it's not my fault that I wasn't there. It was something else. As Riley Green gets a base hit, let's roll to him. Coach, thanks for joining us, and Good luck this weekend at Thomas More.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Travis. Appreciate everything you do for the program.
Absolutely. We'll let it fly in paradise. You're listening to Northwood Football Weekly live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Welcome back to Northwood Football Weekly live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Our next guest, senior corner, we're just saying nice things about you. Hopefully you got to hear Coach B say those nice things
about
you.
Yeah, I heard a few. I appreciate him for that.
Okay, that's good. Ricky Pearson, welcome to the show. Second time on the appearance. You're 2 for 2 in your 2 years at Northwood.
Uh-oh, yeah. Let's keep it going.
Let's keep it rolling.
I'm glad to be here, though. Thank you.
You've covered some of the best receivers in the league. Did a great job last week against Hillsdale. I always ask tough questions.
Okay.
What's tougher, covering the toughest receivers in the GMAC or keeping the Buer kids out of trouble when you're wrangling them here while he's on the radio? What's tougher?
Covering the guys, but they also a lot of work. Those are my guys, though. They a lot of work, but they're great to be around. Great people.
They are fun. They're definitely fun.
Yeah.
You were working hard over there.
Yeah, got to keep them busy. Got to keep them active. I lost to JT today in pool and air hockey, so I'm kind of upset about that, but we'll be back.
Yeah, we'll be back. And then the Wiz was here 1 week, and then he was the hard worker of the month, and I asked Coach B if he won hard worker of the month from taking care of the kids at the coach's show. And he said it's not all of it, but it's part of the factor.
Yeah.
I just told Coach B, I think you've taken your game to another level this year. How do you feel like your game's progressed?
I also believe I've taken it to another level. I'm just more level-headed and focused. Like, I understand this is my last season. I got to go out there and give it everything that I got because at any moment it could be taken away from me. Like we saw last week, Stevie Doug went down. So I just got to I'm just cherishing those moments, and I think that's what's allowing me to elevate my play. I'm going out there practicing to the best of my abilities and just not taking any days for granted.
I'm almost sure we talked about this last year too, but like Coach B and I were just talking, the short-term memory. You got to, as a corner, you really got to be able to forget things and put the play behind you. Is that something you've always had the ability to do, or is that something you had to kind of grow into a little bit also?
I'll say I had to grow into it, especially this being my fifth year. It's like I've seen it all. I've had touchdowns caught on me. I've had passes caught on me. So it's like it's part of the game. This is going to happen. You just can't let those outcomes affect your play because that one bad play, if you keep thinking about it and keep it going, it's going to affect you for the long term. So I just try to – next play, they practice too. They do things as well. They're athletes as well. So they're going to make their plays, but it's just who can come out with more plays. So that's where I get my next play mentality from.
Yeah. As a corner, that's probably as important at your spot than anywhere else, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, most definitely. You just got to get it over with. I mean, it's going, like I said, it's going to happen. Everybody's going to make their plays. It's just how do you come about making more plays?
Yeah. We're talking with Ricky Pearson here on Northwood Football Weekly live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Not just you, but we mentioned, I think, your game on them, but I feel like the defense is really, you guys have all kind of, not even talking about the injury to Stevie last week and stuff, you guys have had some guys get banged up, and I still think your defense has been a very solid this year.
Yeah,
talk about how you guys have grown as a unit.
I say as a unit, we got this macho good, and that just means that good play, bad play, next play, no matter what happens, we just got to stay focused and locked in and good because you never know what come out of next play, like we say. Like me having that short-term mentality, it's the same thing as defense. You got to have that next play mentality because you never know. And they can have a big play, but that next play, we create a turnover, get a big stop. So I think that's a big thing of us is just harping on this good, big next play mentality, just next play mentality, and just focusing on our 111s and doing our one job. I believe that's the biggest thing. And then Coach Sweeney just preaching those things to us every day and just being hard on us and harping on the little things because the little things equal big things. So we focus on that a lot this season and this offseason, just focusing on the little things and doing the right things and being very detailed.
And Coach Sweeney, you've known a long time, been your coach at Albion and here. Talk about what he's meant to you as a football player and as like a person in your life.
As a person in my life, Coach Sweeney's meant so much. Like I said, him and Coach B gave me opportunity when things were looking rocky for me, so I appreciate them and forever grateful for them. And just as a player, Coach Sweeney, man, he's grown my knowledge of football so much, and I give him so much credit because he allows me to go out there and play so freely, and he has so much confidence in me. He allows me to go out there and travel and go against the best guys. So I appreciate him for that, and just his knowledge of football is insane. Like, we learning something new every day. Like, it's never a dull moment with Coach Sweeney. So I love and appreciate him for that, and his love for the game. I don't think you'll ever meet a coach that's more prepared or getting his team prepared like Coach Sweeney. Like, he's amazing.
Well, Coach B mentioned, the week before your game, you weren't satisfied with how you played, and 2 weeks ago. And this week you asked to travel with, like you mentioned, the Hillsdale top receiver. And you kind of shut him down. And that's, we're talking about the mentality and stuff, and that's the confidence in yourself, the belief. Again, I don't want to harp on, this sort of stuff, but, Have you always had that confidence, or is it like confidence come from preparation and talent and believing and getting better and better? A little bit of both?
A little bit of both, yeah. Especially just the, like they say, confidence. Confidence comes with preparation. Like, you prepare, you just prepare yourself to the best of your ability, and great things come. Like, I'm a big Kobe Bryant fan. Like, I listen to a lot of Kobe Bryant motivational speeches.
Yeah.
I just listen about how he prepares and get ready for game, and just having that killer mentality and just being able to stay focused and locked in. So I think that's a – this, especially this season, that's a big thing where I got it from, just listening to Kobe Bryant and the way he talked about his mentality and how he went about business.
Mamba mentality. Yeah. So this weekend you're going down to Kentucky playing Thomas More. You've probably watched a lot of football film on the Saints and stuff. What have you seen on them that you're expecting this weekend?
A great offense, explosive offense. They have some great playmakers out there. Be traveling again this week. They have a nice receiver, so we'll see what that matchup holds. They average 25 points a game. Very explosive. So it's looking to be a fun game. We like to be in games like this where the offense thinks they can do and we think we're the best. So let's just go out there and find out who's the best.
One of the – not only I mentioned you're playing well, but I think all your corners in the secondary – I mean, the safeties have been kind of the strength of the team the last few years, but I really feel like the corners in particular are one of the most improved units. Talk about some of those other DBs that you get to work with on the game day.
I love all my DBs. I love all my guys, my corner guys. We work day in and day out talking, sharing film, just trying to – with my knowledge, I'm like the oldest in the group, so I just try to give those guys as much wisdom and things as they can, and they ask me a bunch of questions – how I do this, why do I look at things like this. And they just, like, I try to be a leader and lead by example. So pre-practice and things like that, I'm doing work and they're watching me and I'm watching them mimic and pick up the things that I'm doing. So I just try to keep being and leading that group, and they are great guys. Ace, Leon, Sayon, unfortunately he went down, and then my younger guys that's coming along, they are meshing, we're all meshing and gelling well. So it's looking great for the future as well.
Well, shoot, the – I know. Cleveland just hit a home run. Ah. Not that we're – yeah, that gives them the lead. I mean, I believe the show before us was making fun of Ramirez for not hitting this, and then the next time up he hits a home run. I don't want to blame my friends at the payoff for that, but I'll take that play. So earlier tonight, some people were in here, and they were having fun. It was a birthday party. You spent a lot of time at Albion. They were wearing kilts, of course. That reminds me people of Alma. Do you still get a little triggered by the kilt at any point?
Yeah, I kind of do. That's the last thing. That's the last thing that I had on my mind as an Albion football player is this, that loss. So it kind of hits home a little bit seeing those kilts and just talking about that team. But, I mean, without that loss, I wouldn't be here. So
yeah.
Kind of a bittersweet moment. But, yeah, I wish we could have that one back.
That's tough, and there's a lot of Alma people around our department, too. So just don't talk to our athletic director. That's all you got to do. Avoid the athletic director, and you'll be fine. There's a lot of Brits, though.
There's a lot of Brits. It's a lot of people from MIAA.
That's probably more truth. Asked the same question a year ago, but a year later, academically, what are you doing? What do you hope to do whenever you're done playing football?
Entrepreneurship, and after college, I want to continue to pursue football, possibly play at the next level. But I'm an entrepreneurship major and just looking to open a business or start a training facility once I'm done and just be able to give back to the next generation and things of that nature.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Ricky, great job. You're a two-time guest. You've knocked out of the park two times.
Thank you. I appreciate the
Buer kids are still alive, so you're doing a great job keeping them alive here at Frick. So good job and good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. Come back. With lacrosse coach Jake Friedel, you're listening to Northwood Football Weekly live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Met. Welcome back to Northwood Football Weekly live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Met. Our next guest is in an interesting time in his life where the fall season is about to wrap up and he's approaching the first year of real games for Northwood men's lacrosse since 2003, I think it is, or something like that. Yeah. Jake Friedel, new coach of the Northwood lacrosse program. Coach, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Definitely really excited. We actually have a game here in 2 days. So on campus, we got Albion and GV coming up for a scrimmage. So the guys are all fired up and I think we're ready. So that's exciting.
Well, we're just talking about a lot of Brits on campus, and then the Brits lacrosse program's coming up in this weekend. I asked Morgan, our coach, our women's coach last week, about where you from the point where you were at when we named you as head coach to where you are now. How has the program progressed, and how, like with your players, your recruiting and stuff? How are you feeling about where you were at the start to where you are now?
For sure, that's a great question. You know, I feel really good about the way our guys have developed. I think that's a big thing that we've focused on, you know, trying to have expedited, I think, growth, you know, teaching freshmen and sophomores to kind of act like juniors and seniors almost. I've been very happy with the guys that we brought in. I think we couldn't have done a better job, got a better group. It's been phenomenal. It's a very tight-knit group. They come to work every single day. I think they take their craft very seriously, and they work on it all the time, you know, extra work outside of just practice time as well. And are kicking butt in school as well. We had about 8 captains, I believe, in the auto show. It was either 7 or 8, but
yeah.
Very proud of that as well. I think they're doing a lot of the right things, and I think it's going to be really exciting to finally see them get to, like, play lacrosse
Actually
against
play,
someone
not
else.
Practice,
yeah. Yep.
So you were – because the program had is in a kind of a weird spot when we announced it. It was too soon to have the team start the next year, but also a lot of time where you basically have a full year. But I'm sure at this point, getting those kids in, getting them redshirted, getting them a year of experience, you got to feel better about where the program is right now than, say, a year ago even, just in that sense.
Yeah. The right way and a wrong way, I think, to start a program, and I think we did it the right way. You know, you need that runway to bring in 2 classes. You need that runway to get that first class up to speed. And you really need time just to grow in order to, I think, have a program ready to hit the ground when it actually starts running. So we'll start running when it hits the ground. You know, I don't think we could have done it better. I'm really excited to actually get started. We got a really tough schedule in the spring, too. Like I said, I think we got the right group for that. So that part's exciting. And, you know, we want to test ourselves. We want to see what we're made of. We want to see where we can go and what this program is going to be about.
And I think, like, if you'd have started last year, even if you're the greatest coach in the world, you're just going to struggle. So
yeah.
Now you actually giving yourself that extra gives you a chance to be – not saying you're going to win the national championship this year, but you're going to have a chance to be competitive right away.
100%. Yeah, and that's been our motto is win now, not later. And like I said, I'll say it probably till I go blue in the face. I think we got the right group for that, and I think they believe in that as well. And that's been, you know, a big, strong, like, message point for our group. You know, we want to test ourselves, and we're not afraid to play the best teams. Like, Albion's a great team. GV's a great team. It's going to be a great test for us. And then even when we're talking about spring a little bit, like, we have 3 top 15 matchups. That's pretty uncommon for, you know, a first-year program. A lot of times you'll see teams play NAIA or Division III even, and we kind of, you know, we wanted to play the best. We wanted to see how we lined up right away.
We're talking with Jake Friedel, easy for me to say, here on Northwood Football Weekly, live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. What should fans of lacrosse expect when they see? What kind of style of play should the Timberwolves have when you're playing the what kind of lacrosse you want to play?
Yeah, discipline. Discipline's been a really big thing for us. Since we're so young, we're not going to be a run-and-gun transition team. We're going to slow stuff down. We're going to run our offense. We're going to take care of the ball. We're going to take care of the ball in the clear, make sure that we get the opportunities. And when we do have turnovers, we're hoping that we were looking for skip passes on the pipes or, you know, shot opportunities, basically. You know, not at the 50-yard line. A lot of those end up in goals. So want to win that matchup there, and then also want to do pretty good at the X. You know, that race to 12, basically. There's a lot of different ways to get there, and if we can get 1 or 2 from our face-off guy, basically, maybe 1 or 2 in a failed clear on their end in a ride situation, and then about 6 to 7 from us in our sixes, and then 1 or 2 in unsettled. And that's going to put us to where we need to be to win a lot of games.
When you're looking at it's a home run for the Tigers. I'm not going to celebrate. I'm actually interviewing you. Let's roll Tigers. Tie game, McKinstry. Fire up chips. But like right now, this is the way you have to play because you got young youth. Do you want to try and play faster in the future? Or are you the kind of coach who's like, this is what we're going to do? Because this is my style, or is it going to kind of vary on your personnel? Because maybe at some point you want to play faster. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think I'm a personnel coach. Like, I will put my guys in the best spot, you know, to be successful. The group that we have, for example, can run. All of them can run. You know, I think of Michigan guys, athletic. We have a lot of Michigan guys. So we're running a 1-4 offense, and, you know, it gives them the space to run. It's not necessarily my first choice in offense, especially with a lot of the modern stuff that you see now. It's a lot more box style, a lot of pair sets. But it complements us so well. It would be very, I think, silly almost of me not to run the offense that we're going to run. And then also, slowing it down so that way we don't make mistakes. Our freshmen and sophomores, like we talked about, I think if we slow it down and we play sixes settled and we run our set we'll get good opportunities. But if we're pushing transition, we're going to be throwing the ball all over the field. And then we'll be turning it over probably too much to win games. So, you know, slowing it down will be good for us for now. Maybe in the future we'll revisit that subject.
Yeah, I'm always curious because, you know, some coaches, this is what I do and this is no matter what, and some are going to change based on what they've got for personnel-wise. Looking forward to this weekend, talk about what's coming to campus this weekend for your fall ball season.
So coming to campus for this weekend?
Yeah, like your games and what on camp, like what are you playing and schedule and stuff?
Yeah, so this is our big weekend. This is kind of our big test. Well, like I said, we got Albion and GVSU coming. That's going to really be our only fall scrimmage that's not just in between ourselves. And then the following weekend, we're going to do a blue versus white. And then we start to actually ramp down and get into our eight-hour segment. A lot of yoga, a lot of weightlifting, a lot of classroom time, and individual skill sessions. So fall ball comes and goes pretty quick.
It does.
Yes.
It does. You feel like the fall's been exactly what you wanted? Or have you accomplished the things you wanted to do as a program?
You know, honestly, I would actually, and I'll say this even before we see the result on Saturday, I've been very impressed with what I've seen from our guys, from our young guys, from the guys that have returned. I think we've made a lot of strides, maybe even a little bit further ahead than I would have pictured us being at this point. I'm really excited for this group, and you know, we had to talk to them basically about, you know, whether it's a good outcome or a bad outcome, it doesn't really determine too much for us in the spring. It's just data points for us to figure out, you know, where we're successful, where we need to work on, or what we need to work on, what needs to be tightened up, and just gives us data points, really, you know, and not get too high or too low on anything that happens from this weekend because it's been such a great fall.
Yeah.
Everything is coming together probably better than I would have expected. So.
Well, that's great. And I know as excited to play, get some other people, play competition, and like not just beat up on each other, ultimately your record's still going to be 0-0 after this weekend. But, again, it's part of the learning process. I'll use your term, more data points.
Yep.
See how we do against others.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, when you're running the same offense consistently against the same defense, you know, guys,
They know what you're doing.
So, they know where you're going a little bit, and they start to jump the spots. And we're still having success with it. And I think it helps our defense. We do a lot of movement on offense, which is good. Makes everyone have to communicate quite a bit.
So what time are those games this weekend?
First one's at 1 p.m., and that's going to be us against GVSU. Second one's going to be 2:30. That's going to be Albion and GVSU. And then at 4 p.m., we will play Albion.
And that's at Hand Stadium. So come on out and see men's lacrosse for the first time in a long – God, I think it was early 2000s when they dropped the program, and then you got it back.
I believe it was like around 2001.
Yep. So it's an exciting time to have you guys back, and glad things are going well. Good luck this weekend, and good luck the rest of the fall.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the show. You're listening to Northwood Football Weekly, live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Welcome back. Final segment of Northwood Football Weekly, live from Fricks on Sports Center 100 Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. I don't know where Sports Center came from. I blame the Tigers for that. That's my bad right there. Saturday's football game is at noon down in Kentucky. If you're not going to make the long road trip, you can watch the game live on GoNorthwood.com. The links are all there. I'd like to give a shout-out to our sponsors. Northwood Athletics are sponsored by My Michigan Health. My Michigan Health is a nonprofit health system headquartered here in Midland, Michigan, affiliated with Michigan Medicine, the healthcare division of the University of Michigan. Also this weekend, we'd like to – also, before I get on that, I'd like to thank Sandy Ridge, the official golf course of Northwood Athletics. They've been a great fan partner of us, and we love our friends out at Sandy Ridge and outside of city of Midland. So Saturday's game, once again, is at noon down in Kentucky. All the links are online. Everyone else on the road this week, women's soccer picked up another big win today, 4-1 at Thomas More University down in the same opponent our football team's playing this weekend. Northwood is still undefeated on the year, and the Timberwolves now 6-0-4 in second place in the GMAC, coming off their championship season. Mike Honan and staff doing a great job. Savannah Walls continue to do a great job. Men's soccer currently playing at Ashland there in the second half down there. And volleyball currently with the second best record in the GMAC as well behind Hillsdale. They've got two games on the road, two big games this week at Tiffin and at Findlay, two of the better teams in the conference. So should be a big weekend of Northwood Athletics. Next week, everybody's back home, so come on out and check out lacrosse this weekend. The women are playing on Saturday, on Sunday. The men play Saturday. Should lots of chances to come out and watch the program. They'll officially get their season started this spring. I'd like to thank all of our guests tonight, Dusty Buehr, Ricky Pearson, and Jake Friedel, and all of you for listening. Go Tigers, go Timberwolves. Thanks for having a great night. We'll talk to you guys next Thursday.